it's very exciting to know that basketball's right around the corner, especially what we saw from both Northwest teams last year.
And we've got a good show lined up for you in the next hour as we'll be previewing not only Northwest Missouri State men's and women's basketball, but also the rest of the MIAA conference. We've got a special interview coming up with a coach that has a team that's expected to be at the top of the MIAA men's standings, along with the Bearcat men and Jeff Boshi with Missouri Western, or with Missouri Southern. So that ought to be interesting. And again, we'll be hearing from Ben and Austin as well, some players from Northwest.
Yeah, and there are so many good teams, coaches, and players in the MIAA, and we're very fortunate to have a lot of them in Northwest Missouri, but a lot kind of spread out throughout. And you mentioned Jeff Boshi of Missouri Southern, what he's built there, and kind of built off of what Robert Korn had established there at Missouri Southern as well. But a team that's really turned into a perennial power in the MIAA, and they're going to be coming hard at Northwest Missouri State again this year. So it'll be fun to talk with him and other coaches and players from around the conference and kind of look ahead to this upcoming year.
And one of the highlights of the event every year that gets a lot of play at this time, but after today, you don't hear a lot about it, is that the MIAA coaches poll and also the media poll on how the coaches and media look at as a prediction of the upcoming season. But it's always something that's a lot of fun to talk about this time of year.
Yeah, it is, and it kind of signifies that basketball's right around the corner, but you're right, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It is fun, though, when you look at the men's side and you see Northwest Missouri State picked to win both, and rightfully so, defending national champs. You lose a couple seniors, Joey Wittes and Dre Starzl, which, mind you, very impactful players for this program, but you feel like they're going to come back and be very good once again. On the women's side, you see Northwest come in at 10th in the coaches' poll and 11th in the media poll, and still further down than I'm sure Austin Meyer would like to see, of course. It doesn't mean much to them, but it just means where you were last year, and hopefully doesn't mean a whole lot for where you're going this year as far as the women are concerned. But you know what? It's something you can look at and use as motivation going forward. There's not much expected out of you. Go ahead and kind of shake this off. For the freshmen, it's your first time getting an MIAA play, and the expectations are low. Go show them something. And for the returners to this program, it's a way that you can kind of come in and show that this program has arrived, and we saw them make a lot of strides last year.
Yeah, and not only strides last year, but I think the off season really, Austin's had a full season now to go through with their off season programming and a full season of actual recruiting. He hit the recruiting trail very hard last year throughout the year, and I think he's bringing in some players that are going to be a lot of fun to watch, not only this year, but as you look at his recruiting class maybe coming down up the line next couple of years, it's going to be a very fun team to watch.
Yeah, and six freshmen coming in, one transfer as well, and I think you look at Janie Green, a 6 foot forward coming from Omaha. She played at Millard North High School, and she's a force. She's a really good post player coming in from high school. I think Northwest really expecting a lot out of her. But really, Chase Van Steele, Janie Green, as I mentioned, Savannah Gunther, Kayla Chapman, Peyton Rao, and Emma Atwood. Those six freshmen coming into this, all coming from winning basketball programs. They know how to win. They did the high school level. They work hard. That's huge to build off of. And then Ellie Horn, a transfer to this program as well, a 6'3" forward from Des Moines Area Community College. So additional size to go in with this program too. So it's kind of fun to see what's going on along with the players that are already there.
And, of course, on the men's side, there's going to be a lot of familiar players out on the floor again this year off a team that went 38-0 last year in an MIAA championship and a national championship.
Yeah, and you think about Trevor Hudgens, an All-American last year for Northwest Missouri State, and he broke Justin Pitt's record for assists in a season. Who Justin had 183 back in 2017, and Trevor posted 20 more than that last year. So he's coming off a phenomenal year, a kid that can score, a kid that can distribute. Diego Bernard was awesome to watch. And those guys were just freshmen last year. Then you think about Ryan Welty coming in as a senior, and he's put on even more weight and more muscle, and he's a guy that's a sharpshooter from deep. Ryan Hawkins has really been fearless since he stepped onto the floor for Northwest Missouri State for the first time. So and those are just four guys stepping into key roles for Northwest Missouri State. But you're really looking at this program to continue building, and it's been phenomenal to see what Ben McCollum's done. But, man, these guys keep getting better and better.
Well, again, we are broadcasting live from downtown Kansas City at the College Basketball Experience, located next to the Sprint Center. It's the MIAA Basketball Media Day. We got more coming up from Kansas City right after this timeout on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on location or online at nvb.com, member FDIC. Support for KXCV KRNW is brought to you by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Super Bonanza each weekday, and Greek Night every Friday. More information available at agrestaurant.com. Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from the Maryville License Bureau, located on North Market Street across from City Hall. The License Bureau allows residents to update license plates, vehicle registration, and titling locally, as well as the Real ID. Open Monday through Friday. More information at 660-582-3022.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Greater Maryville Chamber of Commerce, committed to the growth of Maryville and assisting its more than 250 member organizations. The Chamber also offers monthly socials, ribbon cuttings, and professional development programs. More information is at MarylandVilleChamber.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joseph, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at RogersRx.com.
Welcome back to Kansas City and the MIAA Media Day from college basketball experience next to the Sprint Center. And we are joined now by the head coach of Missouri Southern, Jeff Boshi. And Jeff, thanks a lot for being with us here on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Pretty cool to be able to come up from really wherever you're at in the MIAA into a place like this and not only get together with the coaches and the players, but to kind of get into the heart of basketball really in this country, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It gets me excited. It gets the juices flowing a little bit. Now that basketball is just around the corner, and it's a great venue. This is the second year of doing this, love coming up here and being a part of it. And I think our guys, for the student athletes, I think it's good too. And dress code is, last year I come up in polo. I'm the only coach in a polo. So this year I sport the suit and tie, and then we got coaches showing up in polo. So I don't know. Right. I don't know what the heck's going on next year.
You set the trend last year, apparently. Yeah.
and we got to start off with the hard-hitting questions too. Who's the best dress coach in the MIAA?
Best dressed? Well, Max Al, because he wears the same outfit.
Same thing, yeah.
I'm going to have to go maybe Sundance.
He's the wildest.
He's the most unique.
Yeah.
Maybe Doty from Emporia State.
He gets pretty slick back.
Yeah. So.
Well, I know one thing that's been fun for fans of Northwest Missouri State, and I think probably for Missouri Southern, too, is the rivalry that's developed through the years and the games that have really meant a lot the last several years when the two teams match up. Maybe not so much fun for the coaches on the sideline, but it's been really turned into a great rivalry in this conference.
Well, it has. Last year, only get to play them one time. Was disappointing, but trying to get to the MIAA championship and being able to play them in the MIAA championship, and then with us getting upset in the first round was kind of disappointing. But then ultimately in the regional championship, I think it could have been set up any better. And obviously it was a tough go around for really everybody that played them last year. It's been competitive. We've been fortunate enough to pull some games out, and I think that's why it's kind of involved into what it is.
Is it kind of a stretch or is it kind of on the money? Because it feels like if this was like Division I basketball to where they seeded it out and the way the regions worked, this might have been like a Final Four matchup and not a Sweet 16 matchup last year.
Yeah. That's a frustrating part to me. And I know there's a lot of Division II guys out there that voice the same opinion. You look at our region, since Central Missouri won in 2014, I think we've either been in the championship game or won it, something like that. But just to get out of this region is hard. You play a conference tournament and you turn around and you're playing the same teams almost again in the regional tournament. So I wish something would be done. I don't think anything's ever going to be done. It definitely pushes you to, and I think Ben has really set the standard to push us as a coaching staff to make sure that we're getting better as coaches and getting better players and making sure that we're one of the teams at the top that have a chance to do that, and Northwest has really set the bar high.
When you talk about players, looking at your roster, you've got a lot of very good players coming back this year.
Yeah, we do. We had a lot of players coming back last year as well, a little bit younger. But, this year there's no excuses of being a young team. So our guys have got to understand, and I said this up there on the stage, but, we can't – we can't just think because we did what we did last year that we're going to get back to where we were. It was up to them, and I think we did a great job of individually working and getting better. We had 7 guys stay on campus this past year, and every time we walked upstairs, there's somebody in the gym working on their game. And that's what you want as a coach. You don't want to have to be, making sure and pushing them and trying to get them in the gym. And you walk up there and you see guys at 9, 10 o'clock at night and they're working out. It's a pretty good feeling as a coach. Talent, I think talent only gets you so far. And our guys have got to understand that, we've got to do it together. We've got to get better defensively. I thought offensively we were good, averaging 17 assists a game, but I'd still like to see our percentages be a little bit higher than what they were. I think Elijah's got to be better than what he was last year for us to be better. We got to get better point guard play from Reggie and just ability to score the basketball and not be a liability on the offensive end as far as shooting the ball.
Cam Martin, the potential player of the year here in this conference, and how good he was last year, his first year in the MIAA. If he takes a step forward again in this conference, how good can he be?
Well, I think he could be one of the best bigs to ever play in this league. I was fortunate enough to, I don't know, fortunate enough, but see Dylan Deck play, and I thought Dylan, his junior year was a lot better than his senior year, and I think he had some injuries. Brendan, the other big, Brendan Hayes, can't remember the other big for Central, but those two guys were one of the best that I've seen in the league. And then Keen Toman, who played for us my first 2 years. Cam is really – He's expanded his game. Last year you saw a little bit of what he could do from the perimeter. He didn't shoot it great throughout the year from the three-point line, but he did shoot it well in the NCAA tournament. And he's really – that's one thing we've talked about him at the end of our end-of-season meetings is we've got to be able to find ways to get him the ball in different spots and let him play out on the perimeter a little bit more. And that's what he's really been working on. And he's still got the post game, but if he can be effective out on the perimeter a little bit and not forget about his post game, which we'll remind him to get back in the post every once in a while. But if he can score and be kind of that unique player, it makes us a lot better.
It definitely gives you a lot of matchup problems for other teams when he does that.
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting, too, watching and that's what we kind of talked about going in last year, too. And of course, we take that Northwest Missouri State look at it. But how does Northwest match up with the Cam Martin? And you talk about getting him the ball in different spots and kind of finding ways to let him work. And he was fantastic last year. Who's a guy we don't know about at Missouri Southern who has a chance to really burst onto the scene this year?
Well, I don't know if it's somebody you don't know, but somebody who's been really good, and he came on really strong at the end of the year was Parker Jennings. I thought the game in the round of 32 against Southeast Oklahoma, I thought he was, obviously Cam scored the ball, but I thought Parker, he came in the second half and really gave us a big lift both offensively. He did a great job defensively. His ability to shoot the ball, shooting 47% from the three-point line last year, really, really sparked us towards the end of the year. So, he's been a gym rat as well this summer, look for him to continue what he left off at the end of the year last year.
Well, it's always a fun time of year as you get ready to go, but that season's right around the corner. And when you look at the way the schedules play out, there's really you got to be ready to roll right from the start of the season anymore.
Yeah, you do, and that's those two games, those conference crossover challenges. I mean, man, we're playing. This is the fifth year we played Mankato. We played Mankato up in Kansas City, and we got Winona State, and those are two tough teams. And a lot of times those regional tournament or those regional rankings, a lot of times they come back to those games at the beginning of the year and see how you did against the rival region opponents. We've got to be ready to go. And that's a good thing about having a lot of guys coming back, a veteran team, and we're able to hit the ground run a little bit easier than what's a team that's got a lot of players that are new. So that's kind of the fortunate thing. We've had a great fall, and we got to continue it.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, man.
Okay, and that is Jeff Boshi, the head coach of the Missouri Southern men's basketball program. We'll be back and have more for you from Kansas City right after this timeout on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joseph, Mound City, and Tarkio. Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW is brought to you by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Super Bonanza each weekday, and Greek Night every Friday. More information available at agrestaurant.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW is provided by the Greater Maryville Chamber of Commerce, committed to the growth of Maryville and assisting its more than 250 member organizations. The Chamber also offers monthly socials, ribbon cuttings, and professional development programs. More information is at maryvillechamber.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from the Maryville License Bureau, located on North Market Street across from City Hall. The License Bureau allows residents to update license plates, vehicle registration, and titling locally, as well as the Real ID. Open Monday through Friday. More information at 660-582-3022.
And welcome back to the special Media Day broadcast from downtown Kansas City on KXCV KRNW. Again, broadcasting live from the college basketball experience next to the Sprint Center. And we're joined now by the head coach of the Bearcats, Ben McCollum, getting ready to join us here as we continue on. And Ben, good to have you with us on the show. And first of a lot of interviews we got coming up this year.
Yeah, John, it's been a while since I've heard your voice in this capacity, so I couldn't be more excited.
If only we had a camera.
Is that sarcasm? It might have been just a little.
Just
bit
to see your face, okay, would be
great. Because I'm laying it on pretty thick.
There's a lot of basketball to be talked about, but let's start a little lighter. What'd you have for breakfast?
This morning I was running a little late, so I had.
That's what Colin said.
Yeah,
he's
generally just. I bet he was. Colin just needs to calm down a little bit. I think I had peanut butter toast, something like that, something along those lines.
Good protein source, smart.
Scooter's coffee. At some point, I'm going to get a sponsorship from them. I mean, I literally drink the coffee every single morning, the flavor of the day, whatever it is.
I think John Coffee should probably have Scooter's coffee sponsorship.
Yeah. You know, ironically
do you drink a lot of?
I don't drink coffee, ironically enough.
Okay.
Overnight oats guy.
Yeah.
It's like a millennial.
A what?
Overnight oats. That's good.
What is that?
Well, you fix your oats in the night. When we put everything in there with the milk or whatever you want to put, set overnight, and you have it the next morning, and it's really good.
So that's
and
breakfast, healthy. But that's not a coffee.
Horses love it, though.
Yeah.
What?
Horses love it.
Do they?
Well, I would presume, but I don't know personally, though.
Good, John.
Well,
who's the next question asker? That was an uncomfortable lull right there, guys.
I thought you were going to say something there.
Can we get Sundance on at the same time? Where is Sunny?
Actually, he is coming up right now.
We could have him come on. Can you guys handle that much juice?
I don't know.
Can we handle?
Oh, gosh. This may not be good.
This is
not
good.
You asked for it.
Yeah.
This is not good. This is going to be not good. Sonny, I don't think that John Coffee can handle this much juice.
Bruce Buffer, it is time.
So, what questions do we got? Have we completely thrown you guys out?
This is perfect. This is perfect.
First,
I got to get a picture for social media. So, if you guys don't mind leaning in,
that's because you're trying to generate a question.
No, I've already got one.
You've got one.
So
okay.
Last year, well, every game, Ben stone-faced, shakes hands with coaches, but he's stone-faced.
Yeah.
You're the only guy I've seen to get him laugh before a game, giving him a big hug. Like,
well,
where's that coming from?
You know, you got to keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
You're Michael.
Yeah, you got to get that closer.
Yeah, you got that
closer. Northwest.
Enemies closer, Mike's closer.
This is a Bush League mic, man. Our mics don't do that.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's not Griffin.
Riggert messed that one up for us. That's all.
Yeah, look, full transparency, I've always believed that you have to study the best. I mean, that's part of the deal, man. And I was raised by a coach in Don Meyer who he won 900 and some odd games and would act like he didn't win any. And he'd go learn from a middle school coach. He'd go learn from a high school coach. He'd go learn from a Coach K or Rick Majerus or Pat Summitt. You're a fool if you're a young coach like me not to try to learn from guys that have been successful for multiple years in a row. I mean, everybody can win for a year, but when you start winning multiple years in a row, you got to find out kind of what they're doing. And so I watch a lot of film on Northwest, and I study Ben's demeanor. And I always tell him he should dress better, but crap. You know,
could you buy him a sports coat?
I texted him last night, or he texted me, and we started going back and forth. And I said, well, maybe you should wear a white shirt with a gold tie, and I'll wear a white shirt with a green tie. And we'll really mess everybody up here in this region.
He has learned the white shirt. At the first game, he was sweating through it profusely. Yeah. And I said, Sonny, the reason I wear a white shirt is so I don't look like you. Like I just took a shower fully clothed.
You know, we just had Boshi on a moment ago, and he was also kind of down on Vint dressing attire as well. I don't know. Ben, you got to pick up your game this year, it sounds like to me.
No, I'll probably go with, I'm going to shock you, black pants, white shirt, and a green tie.
I'm shocked.
Hey, you know where Boshi does have both of you guys, though, is he's got that perfect hair.
Hair is unbelievable.
Don't get me started on the hair.
Yes.
Doesn't move throughout a game.
I lost mine at 26. You think I got a grudge? Yeah, I hate
it. His hair is perfect. It's like it never goes out of place. It's amazing.
Well, this should be a comedy hour. We should put this. Is Sirius XM going to get a radio show with us?
Is going to be jealous. Oh. He's going to be jealous that he didn't get to do this interview.
So I guess that's the next question is, are you in love with Zinner as much as he's with you?
You know, when he called
that's
me
That's a great question. Because it is a little weird. Yes. I'm not going to lie to you.
When he called me Sonny today, it was a groundbreaking moment for our relationship. Because it's just, you know, that's when you know, like, true friends can have nicknames.
Did you see the look on his face? It was like, like someone just said, I love you for the first time.
You know, he calls me Nighthawk. You know,
it's a straight man crush. Fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, no, Ben doesn't watch any movies, so he doesn't get the Step Brothers reference, right?
The Step Brothers reference. Absolutely, I know that reference. They didn't. They were laughing just at the Nighthawk.
I honestly didn't catch that. I've seen Step Brothers
multiple times. Every Friday night on TBS, you can probably find it.
Yes. You know what Ben and John call each other?
Please.
Why don't you guys go ahead and.
We don't call each other anything, do we?
Not that I thought you guys had a nickname for each other.
No. Oh. Do you have a nickname for us?
I have a nickname for you.
What's that?
I can't say it to your face.
That's the name I want to call him.
So what do we got next, guys? Let's come up with a question.
Well, sure. We talked a little bit about basketball just for the heck of it here, since that's why we're here, I guess.
Sure, sure.
Well, first of all, Ben, ranked number one in the preseason coaches poll. I know you guys don't take a lot of stock in that, but just kind of talk about the way you see this conference season shaping up here.
Yeah, hopefully good. I think that obviously we do have a lot returning. That's a blessing and a curse all at once. You know, I think sometimes when you don't have a lot, those guys are hungry and naturally excited. Now you have to manufacture that a little bit. You have to be a little bit more careful in how you're coaching them in the preseason, making sure that you stay process focused, but yet there's still a level of fun that you need to have when you play basketball and trying to balance that. I was fortunate with the coaching you deal. I was fortunate enough to be able to call Billy Donovan, who had won two in a row, and that was the first thing that he mentioned, was making sure that your kids have a lot of fun. And last year's group was fun. They were almost oblivious to the pressure that was associated with an undefeated season, and I think that because of their fun-loving nature, that helped. But you've got to be able to balance fun with work, and I think we found that in the preseason, but we'll find out when it comes when we play Missouri Western.
Yeah, that's a long time from now. I am not thinking about you guys at all right now.
He's always in the back of your mind, right?
Yeah. No.
You're the same way, right, though? That just the fun, and you're always kind of the excitement and the energy around Sundance Wigs. And it's kind of similar to what we see with what Ben's talking about, right?
Well, you see that, but, like, you come to a practice, it's, you know, we always say everything outside the lines, like, we can laugh and giggle and have a great time and whatever you want to do. But once we step in between those lines, we give as much as we can, but we take. And so our motto, and you come to our program, is once you're in those lines, if you don't bring it or you don't give it freely with the ultimate amount of effort and energy, all right, then we're going to take it from you. And that's kind of how we have to roll right now, because we're still building the culture, man. We're not at a point where, you know, guys understand what winning is and the expectation that's placed internally more than externally, right? So we got to apply a little external pressure right now when we're coaching our guys, just to get them to understand, you haven't won yet. You're learning how to win, and 12-18 isn't winning. So you're not a winner until you have a winning season, right? So for us, that's the mindset, is every day is when we're stepping those lines, we're going to have fun outside of the lines. In between those lines, we haven't got to that balance yet, and we're not going to get to that balance anytime soon until we start getting an expectation and a reputation for being a winning program again.
I would think, though, with the basketball season as long as it is, I think probably longer about any other season, that you have to find that balance somewhere along the line, or the kids just get burned out by the end of the year.
Yeah, well, that's where we tell you, be great teammates off the floor. I mean, be really great teammates off the floor, like compete with each other on the floor. But, you know, that's why we recruit great kids, because we want you to be around each other, because you're going to be around each other for the longest season in sports right now. So if everybody doesn't like each other off the floor, I feel like it's hard to ever find a chance to have fun on the floor. And then when you have the connectivity and the synergy and the relationships that your guys at Northwest Mo have, well, then you can win and have fun. Right now, winning is hard for us, and it's supposed to be, because we're turning around a program. So once we get to the level of expectation, like I said, where winning becomes a little bit more of a learned habit instead of learned helplessness on how to lose, then maybe I'll smile a little bit more and mean it. Because right now, I got a face for you, big guy.
I like it. Well, Ben, you're going to get 38 no questions all day and for the next month. But at what point did you hit reset? How long did you enjoy 38 no? And then when did you say, we got to start working?
You know, you never, as a coach, you just don't really enjoy it. I hate to say it. It's kind of a Debbie Downer statement, but you try to reach this pinnacle that you see the people raise those trophies, and it's really cool. It is, and it's fun to shoot for that. But then you get done, and it's like, I want to be excited. I want to run around. I want to do this, and it's like, boy, this is what this feels like. And it's. I mean, it's great, but then you go back to all those experiences that you have with those kids, and you realize those are so much more fun than the experience of actually holding that trophy. You know, it's, and I think when people get excited about results too often, I think that's when they can't have sustained success, and it kind of cheapens that success. It cheapens the process a little bit. And so for me and for us, I always tell my wife, I'm like, man, I wish I could have enjoyed this season. I said that after the 35-1, like, I wish I could have enjoyed it. And you realize that you really don't enjoy that moment that much. You enjoy everything that leads up to it. You enjoy the after effect of having a bigger platform to make a bigger difference in people's lives. But the actual deal itself is not as exciting as you would think.
How soon do you put the past season behind you as you turn around and start looking ahead to the upcoming year?
The second you get done. It's. I think some people get excited about it and you know, want for that. You know, want that ego boost and stuff like that. I don't really need a lot of that, I guess. I've just been always just, okay, next practice, I want to go back to practice the next day and have no one in the gym and no Twitter, no Facebook, no people telling me how good we are. I just want to focus and get better, and that's what I absolutely love to do, is get in that gym and work.
Sonny, to put a whole year of being a head coach under your belt and that actually be able to sit and turn and look at year number two, what's this like for you? How much have you grown in 365 days?
Immensely. And Ben's been a big part of that. You know, you have guys that you look at as mentors, and Ben's been a mentor to me, and Coach Sather, obviously, and Rex Walters, and guys I've worked for or been around that kind of educate you on the process. And I'm not too humble to ask or to find out, you know, what was it like in your first couple of years. And I know it wasn't all sunshine and gumballs for Benny when he got the job at Northwest, you know. And so for me, it's looking back at where could I have grown as a coach. And a lot of that comes into the details of it, because you're so much stuff that happens in year one that it was, you know, for me, you thought you'd yell squirrel, I'll look this way, right? Like, to be able to lock in on really what's important, keeping the main thing. That's where I think I've grown as a coach, is being able to quiet the noise from around me in year one and to really dial into what does our team need to be successful? What do our guys need from me today? Instead of, you know, what can I get out of them and all this, like, what do our guys need from me today and how can I become a better coach to help them and put them in better situations and help them have more success? Because there is a lot of noise in this job. And honestly, this Northwest Missouri area does a great job of putting coaches like Ben and myself in a platform to be able to get on radio shows and TV shows and this experience right here. It's better than any other league in any other place I've ever been, even at the Division I level. So it's pretty unique.
When you guys look at the MIAA as well as the region as well, what are some of the things that really make the MIAA and the region so tough right now?
You know, for me, I think it's the talent. I think it's got a good balance. I just use our region. The NSIC is I think, fairly elite in regards to skill. I think the Southern Leagues, the GAC, is athletically elite. I think we're a good mix of those two, to where we've got enough skill and enough athleticism. And then I think our coaching is really good. I mean, I I look at some of even, you know, high major leagues, and it's like, boy, some of these schemes that these guys come up with is even better than it is at that level. And then you have to adapt so much to your personnel each year at Division II, which that's more of a Division II thing than a league thing. But yeah, it's the best. It's the best followed. It's top to bottom. There's no nights off, and I know that everybody thinks that, but I think there's probably some objective facts that back that up.
Is it the brand of defense being played in the Midwest and in this region that results in the way that you guys play and the outcomes of games? And then you turn around and you see a West Liberty that averages 100 points a game but is one or two rounds in and done the last few years. I mean, is it just a matter of they want to fly high and everybody out there does and that's what they do, but then whenever it actually comes time to lock it down, teams from this region kind of take them out of their game?
Yeah, I think part of that is the scholarship piece. So I think West Liberty probably has 10 fulls, and whatever schools are in their league probably has five. And so you naturally you don't get as much talent. And so that pressing style will work all the way up till you face good guards that can handle it. That's more of a stylistic thing than anything. I mean, how many pressing teams have you seen really ever win a national title? I mean, there's maybe been, you know, three or four. There's not many. Because eventually somebody's going to be able to handle that. Somebody's be able to expose that overextend. Well, we played a pressing team in the national title game, two season, and we had two point guards, and so we were able to get them into a half court game. And it's a lot easier to slow a game down than it is speed it up. But a lot of that's league driven, where our 14th team is going to be just as good as some league's second place team, and they'll beat him. And so, matter of fact, did you guys play Fairmont last year?
Yeah, we did.
Did you guys beat them?
Yeah, we beat Fairmont.
And they won their league. Yep. You know, and so that's just the differentials between the leagues.
Yeah, it's funny because having been in that Elite Eight setting like at Northern State and, you know, watching Queens and having teams that are pressing up and down, you know, honestly, it just comes back to what's a constant and what's a variable. Right, and we know that defense and rebounding is pretty much can be a constant for most teams if you really harp on it. The variable is offensive efficiency. And some nights you're going to shoot good, and some nights you're not. And if you watch teams runs through the Elite Eight to national championship games, I think it's the teams that defend at a high level that really end up having an impact. And every night they make you defend here every night because it's so physical. And if you don't defend, you're just not going to have a chance to win in this league.
All right, guys, thanks a lot for being with us. And it's been a pleasure having both on at the same time.
It's been interesting.
Wow. This is exciting.
We're going to do this after noonball someday. So he's going to come up and play.
After your guys' conference met games this year.
Yeah, we probably won't do it after that. Give us a day. Give us a day. Yeah, it's usually a day. It's, you know, it's like when you play one of your teammates. You know, it's like, hey, we're gonna get in a fight in the pickup setting, and then, you know, give me an hour, and then we'll talk again.
That's all right. You guys are getting yanked. But
all right, who wins in a one-on-one contest between the two of you on the floor?
Well, it depends. There's a lot of variables. Yeah, how many dribbles do you get? Where are you playing from?
Yes. There's so many things. Yeah. This is a whole. We could go off. Gotta go.
Again, that's Sundance Wicks, the head coach of the Missouri Western men's basketball team, along with Ben McCullen, the Northwest head men's basketball coach. We'll be back and have more for you from Kansas City right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Greater Maryville Chamber of Commerce, committed to the growth of Maryville and assisting its more than 250 member organizations. The Chamber also offers monthly socials, ribbon cuttings, and professional development programs. More information is at MaryvilleChamber.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joseph, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at RogersRx.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from the Maryville License Bureau, located on North Market Street across from City Hall. The License Bureau allows residents to update license plates, vehicle registration, and titling locally, as well as the Real ID. Open Monday through Friday. More information at 660-582-3022. Support for KXCV, KRNW is brought to you by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Super Bonanza each weekday, and Greek Night every Friday. More information available at agrestaurant.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW special broadcast from Kansas City at the College Basketball Experience, right next to the Sprint Center in downtown Kansas City. It's the site of the MIAA Media Day. And again, if we take a look at the preseason coaches poll on the men's side, the Bearcat men picked number one on both sides. And on the women's side, Northwest Missouri State also looking at the polls there, picked number 11 on the preseason media poll and also number 10 on the coaches poll, and joined now by head coach of the Northwest women's basketball team, Austin Meyer. And Austin, good to have you with us on the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
What's year two? What's the feeling like compared to last year at this time? You're kind of coming in and maybe the unknowns that you kind of are expecting now.
Yeah, it's a much better feeling. I think number one is just having that group of returners that has been through it and kind of knows what to expect from our coaching staff, obviously from an X's and O's standpoint. What we're doing offensively, what we're doing defensively. Obviously, we're making adjustments and changing certain things up. But from just a practice standpoint, knowing what to expect, and now you hope that those returners can kind of hand that down and show the newcomers how to do it, rather than we're all trying to learn at once.
And when you talk about newcomers, I know you're very high on a lot of the players you're bringing into the program now.
Yeah. You know, our returners have been really good, have set a tone and been really happy with them. It starts with our two seniors, Kendi and Erica, and then that junior class has been really good. But, yeah, newcomers, we've had some injuries with them right now. I think we're getting close to where we're fully back with them. But it has brought another level of competitiveness. You know, one thing that we've gotten to do this year more is just play and practice, which we couldn't do as much last year with lower numbers. Obviously, we had our male scout squad as well, but now we can, with 17 on the roster, we feel like we can get out and play more and compete and make everybody on the team better. You know, if you're playing with a men's practice squad, sometimes you only got five on the floor. Well, everybody else is sitting on the sideline and the guys are playing, which is, it's good for certain looks, but now everybody's getting better.
I mean, you look at it too. You're pulling in girls that are from winning high school programs that won at a high level, played at a high level, very good defensively, and it's kind of setting that tone as they transition to college.
Yeah, that was a big part of it. You know, we talk about getting the program where we want to get it to, just getting those kids that have won. I mean, it's what we did on the men's side. And, yeah, if you go down that list of newcomers, you know, Emma Atwood, small town, 95-5 in her high school career. Kayla Chapman won a state title at Trainer High School last year. Jaina Green, largest class in Nebraska, state title. Peyton Rao won 80% of her games in high school. So you can just go down the line. That's a big part of it, our recruiting philosophy. You know, obviously there's a talent element, there's a character element. But one of the first things we do is we go to that schedule, click on this, what was their record? You know, and if 4-20 pops up, we're probably not going to recruit that kid. because kids that have won, they know how to win. They know what it takes. Obviously, it takes a lot of work to win. So, you know, they've put in that time, and that stuff's important to us.
What are some of the things right now that you like best about this group of kids?
Yeah, I think just the amount of time they've gotten in the gym. You know, we always talk about don't be a 3 o'clock player. Don't just show up for practice. And obviously, I have an office that's outside the gym, and walk by, and there's kids consistently in there. You know, I think even our somebody in our men's staff said it, man, I've never seen as many girls in the gym, somebody that had been in the men's program for 5-6 years. So I think that stuff's important because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how much. It does matter, but how much we want them to get better. They got to want to get better on their own. And I feel like we are at a really good place from a hunger standpoint. You know, I think one person that I think has made huge jumps is Mia Stillman. You know, she was a kid last year that played significant minutes, played 30 minutes in that Washburn game, the last game of the season. But she's put the time in this summer. She's shooting the ball at a really high level right now for us. She's in really good shape. And she's one that can be an X factor for our team. That whole junior class, you know, obviously Mallory McConkey moved her down a little bit different position. We call it the four guard now because, you know, everybody wants to be a guard. So we make sure we say that four spot's still a guard. It's just you're in different areas within our offense. But she was really good last year, and she's gotten better. Our two seniors, Jalen. I'm excited. The scary thing is, obviously, is the league's so good, five teams in the NCAA tournament. So we have to get better, and we told this to our team, we have to get better at a quicker rate because of where we started in relation to the rest of the league. So we got to improve at a higher rate than everybody else.
You talked about that Washburn game at the end of the season. How much finishing like that can carry over in off-season workouts and things as you get ready for this year?
Yeah, I hope it has. I mean, I think it has. You know, I think one thing that we struggled with last year was just from a confidence standpoint. And hopefully part of that was new system, new coach, new teammates, where obviously there's going to be new teammates this year, but now we have a system in place that our returners are familiar with. We've put in that extra time in the gym. I always talk about that confidence comes from continual preparation, where I know I put the time in as a shooter or whatever, that it's going to translate into game action. So I think it's just one day at a time, getting better and kind of see where we're at.
First year in the program last year for both Kendi and Erica, but now seniors and kind of looking at taking on a little bit more of that leadership role too.
Yeah, and we talked to this with both of them, and Kendi won yesterday too. It was, you know, she's not a big, and neither one of them are big rah-rah vocal people. So a lot of it is, you know, you guys, they're two of our hardest workers. Our seniors are two of our hardest workers. So you don't have to yell at somebody, but you may send a text message to somebody. Hey, I noticed you did this today. Good job. Or do you need help with something to a freshman? You know, little things like that, because our kids see how hard they work. Our players know how hard Kendi Eaton works. She's always in the gym. She's pushing it in conditioning. I mean, she broke her nose last year, and we had to pull her out of her rebounding drill because she wanted to get back into it. So she's earned that respect. And there's other people throughout our roster as well. You know, Mallory McConkie comes to mind as another one that's quiet, but one of our hardest workers. So just, you know, there's different leadership styles. Mia Stillman is one for us. Zoe Hayward's one for us that are very vocal. They communicate. They're communicating at a high level in our workouts and practices, and they've been very consistent. And that's been a big part of things so far for us as well.
Well, and the unselfishness of it too. That there were games last year that maybe Mia and Zoe aren't going to get a whole lot of minutes in, but they're still the first ones standing up, clapping, cheering, and really great teammates on the sideline too.
Yeah, absolutely. And those two, from a basketball standpoint, have gotten significantly better. And that's all part of what we want is buy-in. Like you said, last year maybe they weren't playing at times. Are they still bought in on the bench? You know, this year what we've addressed, try to get out in front of with our team, is we have 17 players. We're not going to play 17. And we, when we said that day one first meeting, we'll reiterate it again. And that's tough. I mean, because everybody wants to play. And when you think our rotation, 8, 9, you know, I'm not Max, so I'll play more than 5 or 6, right?
That's what you think now.
Yeah. But there's going to be a lot of kids that aren't playing. And so can you buy into your role? And that's why I think that on the men's side, you know, you look at somebody like a Dre Starzl, that was a very good Division II basketball player, that didn't play a ton of minutes, that could have played a lot of minutes at other schools, but he was bought in to what's best for the team. And we can get our kids to buy into that, and also knowing that just because you didn't play this game doesn't mean you can't play the next game or 4 games from now or the next year. It always has to be focused on, are you getting better individually, and are you helping our team grow? And if you're on the sidelines pouting, bringing down our energy, you're not helping our team. If you're not going hard in practice because you know you're not going to play, you're not helping our team. So I think just addressing those things, and because it's going to get tougher for us. Everybody's happy right now. There's no games being played. Playing time's not out there. It's going to change here quick. But if we can maneuver through it in a positive way, we will, I think, reach our potential.
What are some of the things you want to see out of your team early in the season?
Yeah, I think just playing hard defensively, number one. You know, I think offensively we're a lot farther along than we were last year. And I think, you know, we have multiple kids that can shoot at a high level. You know, we talk about Jalen, Kendi, Kylie, who was 45% from three last year. But defensively, you know, it's always one of those things in practice where you're, man, we're really good offensively. Are you, or are we really bad defensively? So it's hard when you're scrimmaging yourself every day to know if you're that good on one end or if you're that bad on the other. But I think just continuing to get better defensively. You know, I think with our newcomers, we do have a lot more length out there. We had time in practice where, you know, we have 6'3", 6'2", 5'11 out there, which we never had last year. So that definitely helps, but just continuing to get better, pressuring the ball, you know, because we're going to have to be good defensively. Obviously, two of our probably best offensive players, Jalen Hager and Kendi Eaton, are, you know, 5'5", you know, smaller guards where there's not a lot of length out there with them, so they got to get up and pressure and be able to move their feet and cause havoc to make up for that lack of maybe wingspan.
it seems like a fun team, a team that gets along well together, and a lot of times that's kind of behind closed doors. The people that that come out and watch every night don't really know. Mixing up a little bit this year, the golf cart interviews hosted by Macy Williams. If folks haven't seen him, go on Facebook or Twitter, and they're always the links are tweeted out there. But it's a pretty fun group that's always just kind of doing a lot of different things together and kind of opening up already.
Yeah, definitely. They had a little WNBA watch party last night. We're doing a little team bowling on Thursday. So the golf. I told our staff, I said, let's do some kind of player introductions. You know, we can just do it down the locker room against the wall. And of course, Macy took it to the next level, which was awesome. She took it and ran with it, and I think it's been really good for us for recruiting, because you know, talking to recruits, they talk about it all the time, and it shows off the personalities of our kids. Allows them to be themselves, which I think is really important too from a confidence standpoint. We want every kid in our program, staff, everybody just to be yourself, and not try to be who you aren't. We've had some fun with it. We've got a lot of comments. I'm afraid we might lose her to tonight's show or something here soon. So make sure she doesn't get too good at
it. Really looking forward to seeing you and Adai on the show, though.
Oh, I don't know. We might have to have you guys come in as a little cameo appearance.
I don't know. We've got good faces for radio.
Me too.
Well, as you get ready to roll for this season, it's going to be a fun year, I think. And just how much are you looking forward to second year coming into the program now after having that first one? I imagine it should be a lot of fun for you coming
in. Yeah, I'm excited just because we kind of have, you know, obviously what we liked last year, what we didn't like, what we want to, you know, keep in, what we want to take out, what we want to add. I really like our staff. Coach Houston, he does a great job with our individual workouts. Macy, Lindsey Holt, a new GA for us this year, and then Mason Hayward, our student assistant. Just really like everybody's on the same page. Everybody works extremely hard. We're excited for year number two for sure.
Have you not marked off a few road trip movies that you can't watch this year?
I'll watch whatever. I can always go to the podcast, you know, Coaching You podcast or Dave Ramsey if I don't like the movie selection. I won't be like Mac and just say, you know, pull it out.
Are there certain ones that he's like, we're not watching this?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what they are, yeah.
All right, well, Austin, thanks a lot for being with us, and I look forward to seeing you throughout this season.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
And that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team, Austin Myers. Stay tuned. We've got more coming up from Kansas City right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC. Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from the Maryville License Bureau, located on North Market Street across from City Hall. The License Bureau allows residents to update license plates, vehicle registration, and titling locally, as well as the Real ID. Open Monday through Friday. More information at 660-582-3022. Support for KXCV, KRNW is brought to you by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Super Bonanza each weekday, and Greek Night every Friday. More information available at agrestaurant.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joseph, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com. Support for KXCV, KRNW is provided by the Greater Maryville Chamber of Commerce, committed to the growth of Maryville and assisting its more than 250 member organizations. The Chamber also offers monthly socials, ribbon cuttings, and professional development programs. More information is at MaryvilleChamber.com. And welcome back to Kansas City. John Coffey with you along with Matt Trenton. We're broadcasting live from a college basketball experience, which is located next to the Sprint Center in downtown Kansas City. It's the MIAA Basketball Media Day. Again, as we broadcast live, talked a little bit about this, but we have the men's and women's basketball polls with the Bearcat men at the top spot on both sides, and on the women's side for the Northwest women, pick number 10 in the preseason coaches poll. And Austin, the media poll, picked number 11 on the media side. So, we are broadcasting live from downtown Kansas City as we continue on our program. Talking basketball this evening, and we've got a good friend stepping in from the head coach at Central Missouri, Doug Carlskin, with us. And, Coach, good to have you with us on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Good to see you, John, and And, you know, it's that time, and what a fabulous event, and get to see everybody before the season gets going, and we want to rip each other's hearts out, you know?
It's probably a little different traveling into Maryville now than it might have been a few years ago, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, I've spent two great years there under Coach Tapp, which just, you know, I'm so fortunate for my time up there and great people, and got to coach under him, who I think just was probably just a great, almost career changer for me, just learning under him, and still try and carry a lot of what he taught our team and our staff and me personally onto what we do today.
When you look at the coaching tree that Tapp has left behind, there's a lot of good coaches, not only around the MIAA, but around the nation right now that he's definitely had a huge impact on.
Yeah, you know, and it just not only him as a coach, but just him off the floor. And, you know, the thing that sticks out with Tapp, not only basketball, just his storytelling ability. And I guess he put on a show at Rosie's deal. That was legendary, I heard. And yeah, you said it. Just, and it's a tight-knit, you know, Joel Taylor. We talked this summer, and I got to spend some time with Ward in Indianapolis this summer. And we reshared some memories, and it's fun, and you know, I don't keep as close track as I should with Coach Tapp, but it's always good to see him, and really appreciate what he did for me and in my career.
You know, we hear from every coach about how tight this fraternity really is in basketball. How much is it, if you run into something or something's just not quite working out, that you might call up a mentor, or call up someone you know, or someone that not necessarily around the conference you're going to see, and just say, hey, run into this, what do you think of this, or just kind of bounce ideas off each other?
How often?
Yeah,
is that the question?
Is that something that comes up a lot?
Every day.
Really?
Every day. You know, and it's almost funny that you ask that, because I'm talking to Coach Lofton and you know, 5 minutes ago from Kearney, and we have both went through a lot of injuries the last couple of years, and we were just kind of sharing, and he left it with, hey, if you ever need to talk or anything, just let me know, and give me a call. And you said, you know, it is such a tight fraternity, especially at this level, you know, Division II, where, you know, there may be a few coaches getting rich off this deal, but not many. And we make a good living, but, you know, it's a tight fraternity. And you know, I think with this conference, we have good guys, good people, and it's fun to see everybody. And like I said earlier, but once the ball's tipped, we're trying to get after it.
Hey, let's just talk about your team coming in, sixth season at UCM. What are some things that folks can expect to see out of the Mules this year?
Well, like I said up there on stage, you know, with our loss with Low Rance, you know, he was a big fella, not the speediest guy in the conference. With the loss of him, we're not as low post oriented, so we'll have to play at a faster pace. Recruited to that, so I think that we have some wings and some guards that can really push the ball and play fast. I think we have some bigs that can really outrun the other bigs. So we'll have to be able to put it in the hole. I think we're going to be good at attacking the basket. Right now, I haven't seen a lot of perimeter shots fall. Hopefully that changes the more practice we get in, and the comfort level rises. But I think our ceiling is pretty high defensively. We have been, along with the Bearcats, always kind of 1-2 in the conference defensively. Our offensive numbers need to increase, and that's by getting easier shots and getting more opportunities.
How vital is that when you talk about having maybe a little smaller but faster, and you think about the big men in this conference, and Cam Martin's the first one that comes to mind, one of the best players in the country. If you can put him on a smaller guy, get him to run around a little bit more, and tire him out on the defensive end, and he's obviously less on the offensive side there, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just seeing him today kind of, man, it's it's almost depressing that he's still here. I asked Boshi this summer, like, man, how close is he to becoming a graduate transfer? But he's a monster. I mean, he's a guy that's a Big 12 level athlete, and you know, small ball has become a lot relevant, and I think that we'll play more of that this year. And you know, it's all about mismatches and matchups, and with a guy like him, I think that that's probably how some teams will game plan around him. And you got to make him move. You got to make the big fellas move, because you know the low post player has kind of become that. You know, with our bigs, they all want to play on the perimeter. All bigs want to be guards now. And, you know, he's a guy that can stretch you and put you in the post. And, you know, that's what's become good and evolved in this game, where you're basically playing the bigs are almost guards now these days.
You know, we've talked to a number of coaches today about this as well, Ben. You have a unique perspective being in the MIAA as long as you had, not only at Central as a GA with Northwest, but as a head coach down at Arkansas Tech as well. When you look at the region, what are some of the reasons you see that this region has so many good teams and it really performs well on the national stage?
Well, you know, I think it's institution-wise, a lot of resources are poured into basketball and football and even baseball and some of the minor sports, where I think a lot of Division IIs around the country probably don't do as much, because in the Midwest it matters. It matters more than, let's say, on the East or West Coast. And we have great fans and great alumni that support the institutions. Just like whenever we, you know, Northwest and Central play in Kansas City, the great alumni base that follows both. And you got that through several schools in our conference. And it's just, you know, so not only alumni base, community based, and resources, institution, but then you start going in. I mean, there's so many Hall of Fame coaches in the conference in this Midwest. It's incredible. And we're getting players that are staying close to home and going to school there. And like I tell our guys all the time, like, that just because you're at a D2, you aren't playing Division II players. You're playing Division I, you're playing Power 5 type of players, and you see so many of that in the MIAA and in the Midwest, and that's what just makes it fun. Quite honestly, that's why I left Arkansas Tech to get in the MIAA, because it's the best conference and I want to be challenged by the best coaches and the best players.
It is crazy to look around the room here today and see so many young, up-and-coming, brilliant basketball minds right now in the MIAA, to where if you find your way through the region, you have to feel pretty good about getting in against some of these other teams. Not to tear down basketball elsewhere around the country, but right. It is so good around here.
Yeah, you know, I was on an interview earlier this morning. I hadn't seen the poll, and they asked me what I thought, and so I glanced at it real quick. And then one thing that stuck out was in one of the polls, Central Oklahoma is picked last. So you mean to tell me Bob Hoffman coach team, that guy has won a ton of games, and he's beat some, I think maybe he beat Duke in the NCAA tournament a couple years ago when he was at Mercer. I mean, he's a great, great coach, and there's folks picking him last, you know, and it's just what John Mosley's done at Lincoln is tremendous. I mean, you can go on and on. Mark Downey's done an unbelievable job. I got to work for him, and I knew he'd turn Northeastern State around. I mean, so if you make it through this region, I mean, you have a legitimate chance to win that national title, because, I mean, just going through this thing is a grind, and it's fun, but at the same time, it's a great, great challenge.
One final question for you here. It's we'll let you go. I think you've got really a tough job ahead of you, just dealing with Greg Hassler over there at Central, their radio guy. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, you know, it's one of my job duties that I got to check off every day is make sure and check in on Hass and that he's doing his job. But no, I mean, he's great. We're fortunate where we get to work together, and you know, he's. He's great at his job. He loves the Mules, loves the Jennies, and we love having him around. And you know, it's been really fun getting to know him. And he's one guy, like when I was entertaining the Central job, is I got to know him really close before I was even hired at Central.
Well, it's a close-knit conference, and I think that's what makes the MIAA so special, is just how well everyone gets along in this conference.
Yeah, you know, from I think. From athletic director to athletic directors, and then just from coaches to players, you've seen a lot of players just interacting, because, you know, AAU's become so big that a lot of these guys know each other just from summer ball and high school ball, and even from radio and SID level. You know, it's fun and it's enjoyable. It really is, and I don't take it for granted. I feel blessed to be a part of it and blessed to have my job at Central Missouri.
All right, Doug, thanks a lot for being with us.
I appreciate you guys.
Okay, that is the head coach at Central Missouri, and Doug Carlskin, as we wrap up our broadcast from Kansas City at the College Basketball Experience, again, right next to the Sprint Center here in downtown Kansas City. And, again, it's been a good show here this morning, and looking forward to what will be another fun basketball season coming up, not only for Northwest Missouri State, but for the MIAA. It should be a fun season, Matt.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and it was great to see so many familiar faces here around right now. And, yeah, it's coming quick.
And don't forget, we got Bearcat football coming up on Saturday, and noon kickoff, Northwest and Pittsburgh State. We'll be on there at 11 o'clock with Bearcat game day for that. But that'll wrap up our broadcast here from the MIAA Basketball Media Day in downtown Kansas City. Reminder, you're listening to KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe.